All right, seriously, we're done with the jokes.
And thank you for those who participated. Yeah, some good jokes on the text line.
You can stop now. You can stop. You can stop. Time to talk sports.
Never.
Okay, but one more. How do you find Will Smith in a snowstorm?
Oh.
How?
Look for the Fresh Prince.
Yay! Oh.
All I care is Jay smiles. Deadspin is it's a website. And
true.
Yeah, that is factually correct. Say what you want about it. They have good content, they have questionable content. It is for your taste and your taste alone. You do what you want with it. But they are a widely read publication. And they had an article that somehow Nate and I were both read everything, generally on there. Are you a big dead spinner?
Yeah.
I thought you weren't, Katie.
No, I read it.
Then all three. I was actually letting you off the hook. Then all three of us are dummies.
Yeah, what's your excuse?
Yeah. I was actually.
I missed that.
Yeah,
7 days
did.
Ago, I missed that. I don't know. We were talking about a lot of stuff leading up to the draft, but I didn't catch, them calling out the Kings.
Well, they pretty much threw gasoline on the franchise and lit it on fire leading into the draft based on that. Now, we did cover Chad Ford's. And again, Chad Ford, very questionable in a lot of his information. But in this case, he was only half questionable. He had reported on Twitter doing research tonight for the mock draft. Based on all the information I can find, the Kings only got one prospect ranked in our top 30 for a workout, Wade Baldwin. They didn't get medicals on most of the top 10 prospects. They've been completely shunned by agents. Now, you could say technically he was correct on Wade Baldwin, one in the top 30. And as far as the medicals go, the question there was the Kings did get medicals, but they didn't get them from the agents. They didn't get from the players.
Right.
They got from other sources. So Chad was right and wrong. They had the medicals. He was wrong about that.
Yeah,
but
because it was the Kings that came out and actually responded to that and was like, wrong.
But the
in
point.
In fact, we did get medicals.
I mean, isn't the overlying point that they had to go the extra mile to get them?
Yes.
That part's accurate.
The point was agents are not clamoring to have their clients drafted here. And then Deadspin goes on to just, I'm going to read this as it's written. The clowning is richly deserved. The Kings are, quote, a ridiculous trash fire of an organization staffed by flamboyantly unqualified doofuses and owned by a spiral-eyed tech industry boob who makes Joe Lacob look like Art Rooney, and it's pretty hilarious to see them getting stiff-armed by the incoming rookie class in advance of the draft.
Yes.
That is
savage.
Yeah, but that's
probably
going to
rub a lot of people the wrong way.
But I feel like you have to read the next part, like that immediately follows.
Right.
Other hand, maybe let's pause for a moment to consider at whose precise expense these laughs are coming. Workouts or no, the Kings are entitled to select an incoming player with the 8th overall pick tonight and pay him a salary peg to the draft slot rather than to the team exercising it. And I can't read the next thing. Yeah. But I mean, it's a bigger picture. Yes, they're clowning the Kings in this whole thing and they're calling them out, calling them whatever, a dumpster fire and all this stuff. But I think the bigger question in this particular article is, I mean, they call the draft immoral and bad, basically.
That's the gist of the Deadspin article, that they're using the Kings as an example. And it could be any team, it could be the Knicks, it could be the Suns. They chose the Kings to say these poor athletes, and poor in quotes, are being forced to spend 3 to 4 years with a team not of their choosing.
Yeah.
And
making a salary that's not dictated by their market value, by the way.
Correct. And that teams that are mismanaged may in fact be rewarded for their mismanagement by lucking into a superstar from time to time, not
76ers.
Right. Not through scouting, not through whatever, but through a poor record, which is mismanagement. And then just a matter of, in some cases, if it's picked lower, hey, this guy fell to me or I just grabbed him and he turned out to be an amazing player. Their point is, as Katie said, we should abolish the draft, and we should abolish the salary situation when it comes to rookies where they're popped into a scale. Now, for example,
just let her rip on the open market.
Absolutely.
You're out of college. You want to declare it's a free-for-all.
So when something like this gets brought up, I like to look at it and, okay, I inherently disagree with this from the get-go. Like, this is stupid. So now I have to look at it from the other side because maybe it's not stupid. Maybe there's something I'm missing. And I understand, and this is where the discussion begins, I think. I understand what Deadspin is saying. Like, if I graduate college and I am a doctor or whatever, there's not a doctor draft. Like, hey, right. You know, Nate finished tops in his class.
You're going to Omaha.
Right. Hey, Johns Hopkins with the first. Or it wouldn't be Johns Hopkins. It would be Detroit. You know, medical,
right.
Who was the worst hospital in the country last year, and nobody wants to go there. Detroit, with the first round pick in the doctor draft, selects Nate Goodyear, who finished first in his class at Johns Hopkins University. Whatever. That does not happen. So, is it fair? No. I don't think it's, quote, fair to force these young adults starting out their career to go where they may not want to go, into a situation that may preclude them from making further money and having further commercial success. But for me, in my opinion, the bottom line is I don't know of any other way to do it that is fair and that would provide parity.
See, well, I look at it in this way. You say, oh, is it fair for these people to be, you know, stuck with this team that's not doing well and, you know, doesn't have a good reputation around the league, whatever the thing is. I don't care what team you go. Is it fair that they're selected, that they have no choice in the matter of where they go, regardless of which organization it is? My thing on the flip side is, forget fair. There's a lot of people that want to play at this level.
Stop that.
Yeah,
stop
no,
that.
Nate,
that's nonsense.
There's a ton of people that do not get selected in the draft.
You cannot say because of the money they make, it's fair for them to have no control over what happens, okay? Yeah, they're millionaires. The owners are billionaires. They have all the control. Go after them.
I'm not saying about the money. I'm saying you have an opportunity to play in the freaking NBA.
So shut up and don't have any agency now?
You know what? No, I'm saying go through the freaking process that everyone's been going through, in the history of the entire NBA.
But I think the question is, because I understand what you're saying, Katie, but why does that apply to professional sports, but it doesn't apply to being a doctor, to being a lawyer, to being a real estate agent? Why does that only apply there? Why is that fair rather than an open market where you get paid what your value is, which is the market dictation, and you can go wherever you want that you think is going to further your career the best? Why does it have to be that way in athletics? That's the question.
How about, why don't we, in this particular, let's replace the Kings with the 76ers as an example.
Sure.
Because, you know, the Kings got the eighth pick, whatever. The 76ers under Sam Hinkie, like, we're talking about a guy who still openly, like, his goal was to fail.
Yeah.
And he never put an end date on when the process would be. It was like he set himself up with this ambiguous end date and then got upset when the league stepped in and said, dude, you're not doing your job. The point is here, he was trying so hard to tank for 3-4 years and just get that right guy. There was no incentive for him to do his job well, because his idea of doing his job was to bury the team so far that eventually they luck themselves into a great player. Is that fair for Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid or Nerlens Noel? No, Sam Hinkie sucks at his job. Those guys shouldn't have to pay for it.
I potentially disagree with part of what you're saying. We'll talk about that when we get back. This is a big conversation. We need some time to do that. And in addition to that, at the bottom of the hour, Aaron Torres is going to come on and analyze some draft picks for us. He's from Fox Sports.
It's 7:16. Time for the Jacuzzi 60th Anniversary Sale at Jacuzzi of Sacramento. Call 315-TUBS.
Why I think Sam Hinkie maybe wasn't that bad at his job. And Nate and I will yell and argue at each other. And
damn right we will.
We'll take a break. It's a drive.
And I'll be the voice of reason.
Sports 1140 KHTK. Talking about a Deadspin article from before the draft, yelling at the Kings for being the Kings. And they bring up an interesting, and I don't know that we've taken stands yet. We're just arguing about it. Concept of abolishing the draft. It's not fair there from their position that, and we've heard this before, that people coming out of college or wherever are forced to go to a bad team or to any team and are forced to make a scale rather than market value. Now, before we went to break, you were talking about Sam Hinkie and the dumpster fire that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I said I disagree with you, but that disagreement is an asterisk. I potentially disagree with you. I don't think the book can be closed on Sam Hinkie yet. I really don't. You're giving me the look, and I'll tell you why. And
well, there's they averaged 15 wins a season
for three years.
Like, sure, that sucks.
Sure they
right?
did. What if they win a title in 3 years?
it's because
Jerry Colangelo, right?
It sure as hell ain't Sam Hinkie.
There's literally no way. I mean, there's no way to determine. Can we agree on this? Going into this season, everything that happened last season is still on Sam Hinkie. Colangelo made minor adjustments, but they still would have been the worst team in the league. That wasn't Jerry Colangelo. That was Sam Hinkie. And that got them the number one pick in the draft. Now, in my opinion, from this point forward, and by the way, even the draft pick itself, pretty sure we could probably agree Hinkie would have picked Ben Simmons. So I don't even put that on Colangelo. The had they gotten the number one pick, any GM would have picked.
Yes.
Okay, so we're in agreement there. From this point forward, it's Colangelo's team. But to me, Sam Hinkie got bit by Joel Embiid big time. I'm not entirely sure that Sam Hinkie's idea of we're going to be really bad for 5 years, but we're going to stack ourselves for 10 years and we're going to compete for a title. I don't know that that was a good deal. I don't know that that was a smart move. And it certainly looks stupid right now. I guess my only reservation, Nate, in what you said about Sam Hinkie being a failure is I just don't know that that book can close. If they are in the East, a fringe or even a playoff team this year, unlikely.
No, I'll tell you why is because you're Sam Hinkie, even with all of the tanking he did in an intent to get, let's say, Ben Simmons, still at best was getting himself a 25% chance at the number one pick in the draft. He had absolutely no control over whether they got the number one pick or not. So number one, ruining 3 seasons over that to me is just a waste. Plenty of teams have rebuilt on the fly. Here are some of Sam Hinkie's draft picks. And this is where it comes to being weird. Tell me why none of these guys have shown anything. Jahlil Okafor, he was a rookie last year. He was decent, but no one's really sure.
Book's still out. I still think Okafor is going to be a good player, but that's me.
Okay, these are all guys that have been held up as vindications of the process at some point. KJ McDaniels, Dario Saric, Joel Embiid, Michael Carter-Williams.
Saric is joining the team next year.
Noel. Okay, yeah. Saric has never been in the NBA. Joel Embiid may never play.
Correct.
Michael Carter-Williams has been traded for nothing. KJ McDaniels, what? And then other than that, he's gone out of his way to, I don't know, not surround these young players with veterans, but with guys that are below the salary floor. Like, he's not trying to add any support group in there. He's just tanking to lose games.
Yeah.
And so if they had, by chance, just gotten the third pick this year, would anyone be saying, you know, Jaylen Brown is Sam Hinkie's parting gift to Philadelphia?
Right. No. No, odds are no. I don't know. Jaylen Brown might be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know. And Ben Simmons might be a colossal bust. We don't know. Out of all the years they tanked, they finally get that number one pick. So I don't necessarily – it's hard for me to say they got lucky this year because they got, quote-unquote, unlucky the previous few years. You'd like to think it evens out at some point. And his general philosophy was, I'm stacking chips. I'm stacking chips. Mm-hmm. I'm stacking cap room. I'm stacking assets. And Jerry Colangelo is in a great spot to be able to come in and be like, okay,
well,
I don't have any of the dirt on me, but I do have some assets to play with.
Yeah,
now.
And the other part is, I'm sorry, Katie.
That's okay.
He, as I said before, never set an end date on this process, just basically stepped in and said, just trust the process, trust the process. Never said this is when it's going to happen. Just kept on turning over his picks for peanuts. And this is one of the things that he points to here, because this was in the article of him, I think, in ESPN The Mag. It says, over the past 5 seasons, more than 60% of the players who made an all-NBA team were top 5 picks, and 76% came from the top 10. Seems like that would justify getting a high pick, right? Wouldn't it?
Sure.
Okay, well, how many times did the Lakers have to tank a season to land Dwight Howard?
You're absolutely
or Shaq,
right. Absolutely
or
right.
Or LaMarcus Aldridge for the Spurs.
Did the Boston Celtics have to tank in order to rebuild from
the
Paul Pierce days?
The Bucks made the playoffs 2 years ago and had a coup in the offseason with Greg Monroe.
There are certainly other ways to do it.
And Sam Hinkie openly like shunned all of those options and just said, we're going to lose games and get a high pick because one of those guys has got to be great.
Last thing I'll say, and then I'll turn it to you, Katie.
Okay.
If,
no, I'll just no, 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 let no, no, me no. know when it's time for me to come
if,
in.
If, oh, Jesus.
She's had her hand raised. I mean,
I've
she's
literally,
being
I've been
polite.
Raising my hand for like 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay,
now.
Go.
It's okay.
No, go ahead.
I think there's one thing. Like, I can hear, I can see both sides of this. There's no telling if this process is going to make Sam Hinkie look like, okay, maybe he was on to something in a year or two down the road, right? And I understand yours. This is ridiculous. The fact that you have an open-ended thing and we're supposed to trust this process, I mean, like, which, just, by the way, you haven't explained. But I think I always try and look at it from a player's perspective. And I think a lot of NBA franchises and guys like Sam Hinkie do not look at it from the player's side and what their process might do overall. Mm-hmm. I mean, in theory, on paper, it might sound good. But when you bring a bunch of young guys that are like 19, 20 years old into the NBA and you insert them into, this is a true dumpster fire, in my opinion, what they've done in Philly. You don't understand what it does to their psyche. You're trying to build them into a winning NBA franchise, yet you're submitting them to years of being the joke of the NBA. What does that do for their process growth-wise from a mental perspective? I think that is the biggest risk that you're taking, is that you've got 19, 20-year-old kids that you're putting out on the floor to absolutely get embarrassed by other NBA teams, and you're saying, trust the process, don't take any of this personally.
Nothing to
Guess
be
what?
Seen.
We're all going to get this figured out. You just need to remain mentally tough and work with us through it. That's bull. You know what I mean? Like, it's horrible. It's horrible. It is. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
I love you.
Jay?
That was so good.
Okay.
Okay, we're good.
Well, glad I
stopped myself.
Glad we turned it over to Katie.
Well, that's what happens when you guys don't let me get my point in for like 5 minutes. It builds up, and then it's like a volcano eruption.
If Philadelphia gets another lottery pick this year that turns out to be something, these are a lot of ifs. If, by the way, and I noticed this yesterday, look at the Philadelphia roster and what they're doing with Saric coming over, Ben Simmons now. Who knows? For all intents and purposes, maybe Embiid plays this year, Noel Okafor, what they get in a trade for them. All of a sudden, are you in the East, are you confident that Philadelphia is going to finish with a worse record than the Kings? Because, by the way, there's still that pick swap.
I don't know. I'm not necessarily.
I'm not confident. I'm not saying they'll finish with a better record. I'm saying I'm far less confident going into next season than I was last season.
Do you think, and there's no way of knowing this, but sure. I mean, just out of curiosity, like having gotten Ben Simmons this year, if Sam Hinkie's still there, do you think this is the year that he finally says, okay, we're going to go sign some
You're
guys?
You're right. There's no. It's you an know, unfair question.
And instead of a bunch of D-leaguers.
I could lie
like,
and answer it.
They spent the majority of the last 3 years under the salary floor.
You're right. So let me ask you this. We can agree on this. Sacramento and Philadelphia have chosen over the last 5, 6, 7 years, they have chosen two completely different paths to rebuild. Okay. Sacramento has an established star and they've chosen to try to build on the fly. Philadelphia has not. So here's a question for you. Taking into account everything, whose situation would you rather have right now, Philadelphia or Sacramento?
I'd rather be in Philly.
I would too.
You're in Philly.
No. Take the city out of the equation.
Take all that out.
I'm talking roster and cap space. We'll finish this when we get back, and we'll welcome Aaron Torres in from Fox Sports.
It's 7:31. Time for the Jacuzzi 60th anniversary sale at Jacuzzi of Sacramento. Call 315-TUBS.
Which situation would you rather be in? Cities aside, you've got roster, you've got cap space, everything in coaching, whatever you want to put in there. Which situation would you rather be in? Philadelphia or Sacramento? You're a brand new owner, and you get to choose one of those teams. We'll take a break. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, question posed before the break and before we get to Aaron Torres of Fox Sports here in a couple of minutes, 4 minutes, 7:40, was Philadelphia has rebuilt, quote-unquote, the Sam Hinkie way. Trust the process. You compare it to a city like Sacramento that has tried to rebuild on the fly.
Which, let me just interject something real fast.
Okay.
I know, you don't want me to start cursing on air. The trust the process thing. That his kind of was his slogan, the 76ers slogan under Sam Hinkie, who is no longer there, as we all know, it's still working. Before the draft even took place, Ben Simmons used that phrase, quoted it, trust the process, on social media.
And then someone asked him
how
if he knew what it meant.
How long is this
going to
work?
Seriously, someone asked him if he knew what it meant, and he's like, I hear they've been saying it a lot around
here. Yeah, exactly.
It's the process. Basically, you got to trust it.
Yeah. Basically, his response to that.
Taking
everything.
Just imagine for a second. Just imagine for a second, like Vivek or Vlade saying something like that and being like, okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Because the only way for us to get better, like, we're just going to have to bomb the next 4 years.
Well, they didn't
say that,
but they had their own. NBA 3.0 is Sacramento's trust the process.
Well, I guess.
That's their
slogan.
Like,
no, I know, but they never, like, bottomed everything out.
No,
I just think,
of course
not. I think that Philly fans are, like, uniquely, I don't know, dumb or naive in this or something, because I feel like if this happened to any other fan base, for an executive to stand up there and just openly be eating crap year after year saying, just trust me, guys, just trust. Like, what if you said that to our boss? Like, if we're consistently 25th, 30th in the ratings for like 3 years and you're just like, just, you know, you guys, I've got a plan here.
That's the
process. Good. It's, I've got a plan.
Yeah.
And just trust me. I can't tell you when. But I've got a plan.
Say it all the time.
Get your ass fired.
I disagree with you, though, Dave. I do not think that the Kings NBA 3.0 is anything at all remotely even similar.
I'm saying
it's
their catchphrase. That's
their
catchphrase. It's more encompassing.
It's a completely
it deals with the arena and the green, the farm to fork.
It deals with the global expansion. It deals with all of that stuff. It doesn't deal. Here's the one thing. You can't fault the Kings in this approach to it. Unlike Philly, they were trying to figure out a way to win now.
They were.
And sometimes the win now approach to things in a long term has more of an impact long term.
I've never faulted the Kings for lack of money, lack of effort, spending, all that. Vivek and the ownership have spent money. I could say the most negative thing I could about the Kings. You'll never hear me say the ownership is not obsessed with winning.
Well, and I'll say this. It can be because we, you know, have the voice of the Kings fans all the time. I've heard it, you know, on Kings radio after games when I'm doing those. I hear it here, Twitter. We know how they feel. It is difficult during the course of a season when the Kings are on a losing streak, when they're not playing well, when it's hard to get behind them because of their success on the floor. I'll tell you what. You are 10 times happier as Kings fan than you are as Philly fan.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this question. We asked it before the break. Let's get to the question. You are drafting a team. You get a team. You're a new owner in the league.
Right.
You can pick Sacramento or Philadelphia. Which team are you picking right now, taking into account roster, cap room, and everything?
I'd take the Kings.
You would?
Yeah, I do, because I don't care what the draft picks are. Number one, you've got a bunch of redundant 20-year-olds on Philly. Trying to teach them how to play. Like, you've got a bunch of nameless, faceless D-League guys, a couple of 20-year-olds, and one guy that you think, like, maybe might be the next LeBron James that you happen to luck into.
You have Ben Simmons, you have Jahlil Okafor, you have Joel Embiid, and you have, who am I forgetting? Nerlens Noel.
Everyone else on the roster.
Sure.
Because the only guy that's worth a damn is Ben Simmons. Like, that's really the only guy that I would take off of.
You also have a decent amount of picks in the future. You also have swappability with Sacramento, which I think has to be factored in. And by the way,
it's a lot easier to rebuild a team from middle of the road with superstar that's already there. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is there.
Yes.
It's easier to me to build from that into a contender than to take a 17-win team that's stocked with cloned 20-year-olds and try to teach them how to win at the
NBA
level.
But they also have assets to trade. We have one asset, one and a half.
They have assets to trade, but they don't have the value in their assets.
You don't think they can trade Jahlil Okafor for a good starting veteran or two?
Yeah, but I
really,
mean,
really,
I don't know. I'm always shocked at the value of players. Like, I was shocked in the sense that, you know, Oklahoma City with the whole Serge Ibaka trade to Orlando. I was shocked at how much Serge Ibaka, you know, his value was. DeMarcus Cousins' value is 10 times more than Serge Ibaka, and look what they got. So I look at it this way. When you talk about Philly versus Sac, whose roster would you take, blah, 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 all of the cap space, all of the details mixed in there. I think I still take the Kings, and I don't have the purple-colored glasses on. I'm not that person on this show. I'm just not. The reality is they're closer. Way closer to being there. And when you have a legitimate, established superstar in the league, such as a DeMarcus Cousins, no matter what you think about him or how you feel about him, He will get you value. Whether or not you stick with him, you have to make good picks on who to surround him. They have not done a great job of doing that so far. If you decide to go a different route, which we've discussed over the last few days since the draft, and we're saying, okay, maybe that's what this draft is leading up to. Maybe for the first time, we're legitimately looking at it, the fact that he could potentially not be on this team in the near future. Right?
Right.
You're going to get much more for DeMarcus Cousins now than you're going to get for what Philly's got over there.
Okay, well, a couple things. I do wear the purple glasses.
I know.
I don't
we
think,
love you for it, too.
I don't think that we should be so sure as to what DeMarcus Cousins' value would be.
Okay.
Because his contract is up in a year and a half. And here's the difference between Cousins and Serge Ibaka, other than on the floor. Anyone ever complain about playing with or being around Serge Ibaka? We don't know what that
does. Serge Ibaka did complain about being there.
I got you, but we don't know what
did.
We don't know what DeMarcus Cousins value is. We think we do because of his stats, but we don't know what his value is to other teams. That's number one. Number two, when the cap goes up again next summer, Sacramento this coming year already has $61 million committed. Sacramento next year has $46 million on the books already. Philadelphia next year has $1 million committed.
That's not good.
$1 million. It's not good, or it is. What that lets them do, potentially, they have the ability to move. And now you have Jerry Colangelo running the show. You, Mr. USA
That's
Basketball.
That's the only thing you've got going for you. Despite the fact of whatever Sam Hinkie has done over there and the trust the process and the way that he approached building this team, guess what? We've talked about how difficult it is to get a free agent to come to Sacramento. How freaking hard is it going to be to get a free agent to go to Philly?
Less hard.
Oh,
easier.
Well, now that Hinkie's gone.
Now that Hinkie, Colangelo's there.
It's a little bit better, but you're banking on Colangelo's name, but you still have to look at what's been going on there.
If we're banking on Vlade Divac's name, you're telling me we can't bank on the head of USA Basketball's name?
No one loves Vlade Divac
more than I do, but Jerry Colangelo has 500 billion times more credibility than Vlade Divac based on past history and an established track record.
I'm talking about a lot of free agents are established NBA players that want to go somewhere and win now and compete for a title. Are you telling me that in any time in the near future, Philly, regardless of what's going on in the cap space and how much money they have committed, that they're going to be competing for a championship in the next 10 years? Tell me that right now.
I think they're as closer than the Kings.
Okay.
I think they're as closer than the Kings.
Okay.
We got to get to Aaron Torres right now.
They've won 20 games in the last 3 years.
I understand that. So, right. But really, what's the difference between 20 games in 37, in 29, in 28?
All right,
Monster Energy.
And they're not paying anybody. They're not paying anybody.
Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is October 22nd and 23rd at Discovery Park. Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Tickets on sale now. For more info, aftershockconcert.com. Aaron Torres is nice enough from Fox Sports. You can get him on the Twitter at @Aaron_Torres. He's nice enough to come on and break up this brawl we have going on. Aaron, it's Dave, Katie, and Nate. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Whoever's going to that Aftershock Music Festival has more to look forward to than either Kings or 76ers.
All right, you know, I know your expertise is in the college world, but I'm going to guess you've watched an NBA game or two. So just out of curiosity, since we were yammering about it, we don't know what we're talking about, and you're an established real journalist. In your mind, you're a free agent, Aaron. Which team would you rather go to if you were signed? Yeah, two to go to, Aaron. You go to the Kings, you go to Philadelphia. Which one are you picking?
Remember like 8 years ago when there was this big thing where Josh Childress signed in Greece and we thought all these big-time free agents were going to go to Greece?
Yeah.
I think that's where I would sign if I had the choice between
those two. Aaron.
In all seriousness, though, Philly, you know, the thing is I actually am way higher on Ben Simmons than most people because, like you said, you know, the college game, I've been watching that kid since high school. I think he's actually going to be a really good pro in time. I think that the long-term upside of Philly, they finally have the guy that can be a star as opposed to a bunch of really good players like Nerlens Noel, all that. So, to me, I think Philly has the long-term upside, although to Katie's point is, like, DeMarcus is the star. He's the best player involved here. So it's tough to say either one. But long term, I would probably go Philly.
Best guest ever in the history of the world, Aaron Torres, joining us. Nate, go ahead.
Aaron, I want to just that you mentioned you've been watching Ben Simmons for a long time. I know that there were some questions, not about his talent, but you know, people wondered why he went to LSU, and then there was a whole bunch of weird things going on there with the coach. And I guess there were questions about maybe his competitive nature. Any of that pop up with you at all with Ben Simmons?
Yeah, I think it's the most overplayed narrative that isn't really a narrative in sports. You know, so quick thing on Ben Simmons for people who don't know. You know, the reason he went to LSU, his godfather, who, you know, not one of these, like, cliche, oh, yeah, he's my god, like, but his godfather's got him by the name of David Patrick, who really is, like, an older brother to him, lived in his house when Ben was growing up. David Patrick actually was a teammate of Ben Simmons' dad when Ben Simmons was playing overseas. So that's why he went to LSU. It was a family thing. There was real family ties there. But it was a mistake, ultimately, and it was very clear very early on that the coaching staff at LSU not only didn't know how to kind of take advantage of Ben Simmons' unique talents, but not only that, but also handle the media circus that came with it, handle the locker room in the sense of other guys maybe having a little bit of jealousy. I have a couple friends that cover that team, or at least that were around the team quite a bit, that said that a lot of, you know, that some of the issues stem from other guys maybe being a little bit jealous. So I think he was in too much of a fishbowl. I think the only mistake that Ben Simmons made was not going to a Duke, not going to a Kentucky, not going to a Kansas, where the coaching staff may have a little more of a track record in handling a situation like that. I think he's going to be really good. Is he the next LeBron? Probably not. There's only one LeBron on this planet, but I think he's going to be really good. I think out of everyone in this draft, he definitely has the most upside.
Fox Sports College sports columnist Aaron Torres joins us this morning. Now, Aaron, you know, getting a little bit into the Kings draft, on Thursday when it was all said and done and things played out, there was a lot of question marks surrounding some of the decisions that the Kings made. But I want to talk to you about the college guys. In the three that the Kings, you know, acquired through the draft, is there anybody that you look at and say, hey, I think that's a steal right there?
Yeah, so, I mean, look, my concern with the Kings isn't who they got, but kind of where they are in their development relative to where the Kings are, you know. So, like, my beef with what the Kings did was you have a superstar in his prime in DeMarcus Cousins, who I'm sure you guys spend a ton of time talking about. I'm sure there's good days and bad days with DeMarcus. I know, you know, he's a brilliant player. But the truth with him is he's 26 years old, and I look at somebody like Malachi Richardson, who I think can be really, really, really good, but it's not going to be for 3 years. And mm-hmm. to me, you know, you have that eighth pick, and maybe, look, maybe they thought at eight with Marquise Chris or whoever else was available there, they couldn't get anybody that's an impact right away. But to get two developmental guys in Scalabissiere and Malachi Richardson, who at the very best won't be really – impact NBA players for 2 or 3 years, it just felt so weird to me. And listen, I'm not in those meetings with Vlade Divac. I don't know what was on the table. I don't know what they could have gotten. But it's just like, man, go get somebody who can help this team right away. That was my beef with the Kings. But to your question directly, Katie, I think that you know, I think Malachi Richardson could be good in the long term. It's just in the short term, you got to win now. You got to keep Boogie happy now. And I just don't know that anyone in this draft does that.
So you're basically, you know, your sentiments are the same as we've had over the last several days as we try and gain clarity. When you look at this draft, can you really give it a complete grade until you understand who their targets are in free agency? And will the grade in the draft change potentially if they, based on who they're targeting in free agency?
No, I don't think so, only because, look, again, this was a weird draft where obviously won a lot of international players, a lot of developmental players even from the college game, but there were guys from the college level that could have come in and helped on some level. I'm trying to think off the top of my head.
Denzel Valentine?
Yeah, Denzel Valentine. You know, I'll go so far as to say, you know, maybe, look, Henry Ellison's probably not the right fit, but, you know, I'll go so far to say, as somebody who got drafted in the second round, Demetrius Jackson, Ben Bentle, who both went to the Celtics, I mean, those are guys that can at least compete for you next year. Now, again, I understand that Malachi Richardson maybe has the all-star upside, you know, maybe 6, 7 years, you know, maybe not six, but 4 or 5 years down the road. I just think that there were players that could have come in and helped you tomorrow. So I don't really think free agency will impact that. Now, of course, if you go out and sign somebody big time, somebody that would have overlapped with a potential college draftee, then I totally get it, and maybe my opinion does change. But it just feels like there were guys that could have come in and helped you right away next year, had an impact. And those are just the kind of guys you need to target in Sacramento. I mean, look, I understand that all this is a process and part of it is a rebuild, but at some point you got to get out of that rebuild and try to win now. Because as I said, you know, whether, you know, and I don't know what the vibe is locally, but nationally there's obviously a divide over whether you can build a team around DeMarcus Cousins. Because I know the Kentucky staff well, I believe that you can. But you can't start doing it when he's 29. You got to start doing it when he's 26, and his 26th birthday is in a month from now. So, I just it was just a weird draft, and right. I just don't buy that even anything that they couldn't have gotten somebody at eight or when they drafted in the teens that could help them this year.
Aaron Torres, Fox Sports, joining us on KHDK. Aaron, I agree with pretty much everything you're saying. The argument or response, I think, of Vlade Divac were in this room was, hey, we wanted Buddy Hield. We wanted Chris Dunn. That didn't happen. We're probably not going to have a first-round pick next year. So we traded Marco Bellinelli, got the 22. Sure. We traded down to 13, so we grabbed Bogdanovich, who's going to come over next year. There's your first-round pick. And these other teams, Detroit in particular, they were worried they were going to grab Papagiannis, who they wanted. Huge value in Scal Labissiere and value in Malachi Richardson at 22. So I think that's the response there is they grabbed Papagiannis because that's who they wanted and was afraid he'd be gone. The first round pick next year, et cetera. Do you buy that argument?
All I would say to that is if that's really your plan and you have a plan, God bless you, go to DeMarcus Cousins and trade him.
Yeah.
It's not fair to DeMarcus. It's just not. Like, you can't and this is a very common narrative in the NBA, and I'm certainly not the first person to say it, and I won't be the last, is you either gotta, you know, if you don't have those guys, if you're in the process of rebuilding, that's fine. Bottom out, and to bring your conversation full circle from the beginning, do what the 76ers did. If you say, look, you know, the kid that you drafted from Greece is going to be a guy that we really believe we can build around in the long term, Malachi, that's fine. Trade DeMarcus Cousins. Get whatever you can for him. Allow him to go to a place where they're going to be more competitive right away, because you can't have 1 foot in one door and one foot in one and 1 foot in the other. Like, you're either, if you're really building for the long term, you're really worried that a guy that's going to be a developmental project that maybe 3 years down the road is an impact player for you, that's fine. Like, I get it. And by the way, in the case of the 76ers, I've never had a problem with what they did, because they just said, look, we are who we are. We were the eighth seed in the East forever for like three straight years, and we needed to bottom out and start from scratch and hope that the ping pong balls fell our way and we got a Ben Simmons type guy. They did that. Will it work in the long term? Only time will tell. But you can't be caught in the middle, and that's where I think the Sacramento Kings are right now. And if that really is where you want to go, then that's fine. But trade DeMarcus Cousins and let him have a chance to really thrive. And maybe it is a DeMarcus issue, and maybe you can't build around him. But it's just not fair to him at this point. You can't do both. You're wasting his prime. He is, by any tangible measurement, one of the two or three most dominant big guys in the league. And you can't do both. And so, to me, that would be my argument to that. If I'm sitting there and Vlade Divac, who knows way more basketball than I do. But it's common sense. You can't do both. And so that would be my counter to his argument.
Fox Sports' Aaron Torres joining us this morning. Now, Aaron, you talk about kind of everything you just said there. Trade DeMarcus Cousins. As we look at this draft and we look at maybe some of the guys they are targeting in free agency, I think for the first time, kind of the buzz around here, Sacramento, is that, okay, maybe the way you make sense of this is that is exactly what they're doing. So is your issue, if they're potentially shopping DeMarcus for a trade this offseason to acquire pieces and just start from scratch and build around these young guys that they've drafted in this draft, is your issue with that they're not communicating that to DeMarcus, if that's the case?
Yeah, look, and I think that's a great point, and I think that it's so hard to know, because so much of this particular draft felt like it was setting up for something bigger, not just in Sacramento. You know, it's funny, like, I did this draft grades piece, and one of the biggest criticisms I got, believe it or not, was from Celtics fans who thought I was too nice to them. And my argument was they're just drafting a bunch of guys, throwing them up against the wall and seeing if two or three of them stick. So down the road, they can trade for a DeMarcus Cousins or a Jimmy Butler or a fill-in-the-blank guy, whoever. And so if that is the case, then I can't, then I would obviously have to reevaluate. I mean, like I said, my big thing is you can't do both. And if this ends with, them shipping DeMarcus Cousins to the Celtics and you getting, you being the Kings getting Jaylen Brown next year's pick and da 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 da, then yeah, it makes perfect sense. But as things stand, it just doesn't make sense. But to your point, if it leads to something else, and if there is a clearly defined plan, be it we're building around DeMarcus or be it we're building from the bottom up, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. Like, my whole thing with all these things is just have a plan. And that's why I've never criticized the 76ers. That's why, ironically, I have criticized the Lakers, who live here. I live in Los Angeles. Is that for 2 years they were the same way. We're going after all these free agents, but we're also trying to get draft picks, and it's just like you got to decide one or the other. And so if that is the long-term plan for Sacramento, then I have no problem with it. I guess only time will tell.
Aaron Torres, Fox Sports, college sports columnist. Get him on Twitter, at @Aaron_Torres. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, I appreciate you having me anytime.
All right, take care. That's Aaron Torres.
That's good stuff right
Phenomenal
there.
Phenomenal guess.
Not according to the text line.
Oh, really?
Wow. Oh, boy.
Oh, wow.
We'll read those when we get back.
Here's the thing. I think a great guest is someone, despite kind of what their take is on things, he was adamant and passionate about it.
Well, text line disagrees with you.
Okay.
What time is it, Katie?
What time is it?
Just if you could tell me what time it is.
7:58.
Hey,
interesting, because Village Financial is waiting for your call. Go to homesandloansradio.com or call 750-1140. Thank you.
Your text when we get back. We'll react in your reaction to that interview with Aaron Torres at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. And we mix it up with Katie in the next segment as well. Today's subject, those Olympics.
Oh, there's a lot of stuff going on that maybe people aren't aware of.
We'll talk about it when we get back. The Drive, Sports 1140, KHDK.